Good morning, Midland First. I am Pastor Bethany Macieski. What a good morning it is, and a joy to be with you. What a gift it is to worship God together. I have some announcements for you. One announcement is that we will return to two services next week, January 14th, and the service times will be 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. The 11 a.m. time is a different time than we've had in the past, so be sure to make note of that. Likewise, Bible study is beginning this week. My Bible study will meet on Monday morning at 9:30, and Reverend Yum will be leading Bible study at 9:30 on Wednesday morning. Elaine Kern turned 90 years young this Friday, January 5th. If you see her, be sure to wish her happy birthday. We have a new choral program director, Tyler Morse. Tyler, would you stand up, please? Thank you. And our final announcement is from Hillary.
Good morning. You may have noticed for quite a few weeks a slide about Kids Hope USA. We are going to sponsor Kids Hope USA at Midland First. If you remember Reverend Alice Townley's videos about our Christmas Eve gift to Readers to Leaders, she mentioned that a third part of that ministry is to become active in a local school. And Kids Hope will give us that structure, support, and training to do that well. If you're interested in learning more about Kids Hope USA, please plan on attending a meeting between services next Sunday in P3. Even if you're not sure you want to make a commitment, come to the meeting and learn about Kids Hope USA. It's worth a bit of attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Hillary. And now, let us turn and greet one another.
Good morning. Please remain standing and join in the call to worship. Lord, we thank you for your love that surpasses knowledge, and that you delight in us as you do in Jesus. Fill us with your love in this space and empty us of everything but that which is of you, O God. It is your kindness that leads us to repentance. We confess our sins and lean into your forgiveness as we remember our baptism into Christ's holy church with gratitude. Come, Holy Spirit. Meet us here in this space in a new way. Meet us each right where we are today with whatever we come with, joy, sadness, anger, hope, or something else. Meet us where we are and lead us where you're calling us to be, our relationship with you, according to our identity as your beloved sons and daughters. May be seated.
If the children could come forward, please. Glad everybody's here. Well, today we are going to celebrate our 2024 birthdays. The word birthday is mentioned three times in the Bible, but most often in reference to a ruler. But we know that we are each a child of God, a precious child of God at that. Pastor Bethany's summary of the gospel says it all. You are loved, you are seen, and you matter. Oh no, I just realized all these grown-ups aren't invited to the party. And we're talking about it in front of them. Maybe the least we could do is sing happy birthday to them. Okay?
Here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, and don't forget, Benji, Volvon, and Babatai.
Oh my goodness, we won't forget. The prayer today will be the benediction from number 6, 24 through 26, the easy-to-read version of the Bible. Let us pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord smile down on you and show you his kindness. May the Lord answer your prayers and give you peace. Amen.
What beautiful music. Many thanks to our bell choir for leading us in worship in this way. Would you take a posture of prayer with me? God, you are good, and your mercy endures forever. Thank you for this new year, for new opportunities to experience and express your love to others. Thank you that we love because you first loved us, and that you loved us so much that you came to us. You became human for us and died on the cross for our sins. What a gift that is, God. Help us not to take it for granted. May your kindness lead us to repentance and to always choose kindness in our interactions with others. Lord, in your mercy, make us more like Jesus, who knew no sin, but was made to be sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. As we become more like you, shift our focus from my will be done to thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As your beloved children, forgiven in Christ Jesus, free us for joyful obedience to you, to walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Lord, we remember in our prayers those around the world who are affected by war and violence today. Be with those in Iowa who were affected by the shooting at a high school on Thursday morning. Walk with those wounded in body and spirit and help each person to grieve as they need to. Comfort especially the parents of the boy who was killed. King Jesus, place a special hedge of protection around children and youth in our community and throughout the earth. You said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." May we as humans give special care to protect from harm all who are especially vulnerable, especially children and youth. May schools be safe places and places where students feel your presence tangibly, even as they do their schoolwork. God, allow those around the world to also feel your presence tangibly, whether affected by war or violence. You are the Prince of Peace, King Jesus. May your name be proclaimed throughout the earth. You make wars cease to the end of the earth. Help us to be still and know that you are God. No matter what is on our hearts and minds today, you are exalted among the nations and exalted in the earth. Thanks be to God. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for the privilege it is to be yours. We thank you for the privilege that it is to pray, always, and especially the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And now we will have a time of offering. Will our ushers please come forward?
So aimless, like
thank you so much for who you are and for your generosity in giving us these gifts that we can give back to you. Lord, we pray that you would use these gifts to the fullest and that they would bring glory to you as they build up your kingdom. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel according to Mark, Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. So John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judean region and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Who is this that was born in Bethlehem and is headed toward death in Jerusalem? Lawrence Hull Stuckey asks the question to help the reader of his book, Calendar, Christ's Time for the Church, expand their contemplation of the proclamation of the Nativity beyond a baby born in a manger. Yes, that happened, and yes, it is incredibly important. But what he's getting at in such a question is the idea that our celebration of the incarnation should not be limited to just one season or a few weeks of the year. A year or so ago, I had a conversation with a friend. We were each discussing our love for the incarnation and the resurrection, his favorite holiday being Christmas and mine being Easter. My friend said to me, "You can't have the resurrection without the incarnation." He's right, which is why Stuckey's question and insinuation resonates with me and why it seems appropriate to talk about it in light of our text this morning. Our text this morning comes from how the Gospel according to Mark highlights the baptism of Jesus before he begins his earthly ministry. That is Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. However, there are scholars who believe that verses 1 through 15 serve as a prologue for the rest of the book, because the calling of the first disciples takes place in verse 16. As we look at this text today, I will give reference to Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 15. To hopefully help paint a broader picture of the importance of baptism, of the baptism of Jesus, not only in the account of the gospel as Mark has explained it, but for us who are loved by God in this day and age. A few important things to know about Mark's account of the gospel in general. It is very fast-paced until chapter 11. When Mark gives a day-by-day of the events leading up to the crucifixion and an hour-by-hour account of what we think of is Friday, the day Jesus was crucified. Mark is very intentional in organizing his thoughts. He uses literary devices such as repetition in both theme and word choice to let the reader know the importance of what he has written. The word immediately in English is found over 40 times in the gospel according to Mark. It is also the shortest gospel and believed to have been written before the other three. I tell you this because each of these details provides a lens through which to view the baptism of Jesus and his ministry. Mark doesn't include information that other gospel accounts provide the background for, including the birth and calling of John the Baptist, who is the messenger crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." But the first 15 verses of text in which he writes about the good news of Jesus Christ do something extremely important. They identify Jesus. Mark's quotation of Isaiah 40, verse 3, in verse 3 of his own text, tells us that someone is coming. God is about to do a new thing. And this new thing will be the inauguration of God's kingly reign in a new way. John the Baptist says, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Can you imagine ever describing someone as being so powerful that you aren't worthy to stoop down and untie their shoes? Who is this that was born in Bethlehem and is headed toward death in Jerusalem? John's ministry was preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, and people from the whole Judean countryside and all of Jerusalem were going out to him, and he was baptizing in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. We don't know what it was that drove people out to John, but we know that Jesus had no need to confess sin, because he lived a perfect life. The fourth account of the gospel tells us that Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Why then was the baptism of Jesus so important that we make time to celebrate it? Who is the one who came, born a baby and placed in a manger? The reason that John the Baptist cried out in the wilderness. What is the good news? And why do we keep coming back to it repeatedly, week after week? It's the same reason that it is the privilege of all of our lives to keep coming back to it, to never forget it and to never let it go. And it was at his baptism that just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. Verse 11, "And a voice came from the heavens, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.'" The good news is not a concept or an idea. It's not some far-off thing or an accomplishment to reach for. It's not just something we talk about on Sundays or in Bible study. The Son of God, the Beloved, in whom the Father is well pleased and in whom he takes great delight, has changed the world because he came to live among us. The one in whom we live and move and have our being. God Himself has come to set us free. That is the good news. The blind see, the lame walk, the dead are made to breathe air, because the kingdom of God has come near. In Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the good news. He is our salvation in every shape and form. It bears repeating over and over because the good news is life-changing. It's so good and so powerful that we get to say, I'm not who I was because God's love healed my broken heart and bound up my wounds. That's from Psalm 147, verse 3. I'm not who I was because God's love did a new thing. He made a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. That's from Isaiah. That's a paraphrase of Isaiah 43. Just like he promised. God does those things just like he promised. Each of us has a story like that. More than one, where the kingdom of God came near and his love changed our lives. I wouldn't be here right now if the kingdom of God had not come near. When the DS called me about a pastoral appointment in the middle of May last year, I did not know exactly what I was saying yes to. No pastor does. We just trust that God is leading, and we love him, so we say yes. I knew there would be physical challenges to overcome and a lot of adjustments because of my physical limitations. But I also knew that whatever mountains stood in the way, they would be moved and leveled to the ground because the God who brought me here has been motivated by love from the very beginning. That is the good news. I have the privilege of loving you because God loves me. That's how it works. God always keeps his promises. And as the prophets foretold hundreds of years beforehand, out of the abundance of the triune God, the Creator came to that which he created, in the flesh himself. Love itself walked among us. As the Spirit of God hovered over the water in Genesis 1, and the voice of God said, "Let there be light," so Jesus came to usher in a new creation. As 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 21 says, "For the love of Christ controls us, since we have concluded this, that Christ died for all. Therefore, all have died, and he died for all, so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised. So then, from now on, we acknowledge no one from an outward human point of view, even though we have known Christ from such a human point of view. Now, we do not know him in that way any longer. So then, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. What is old has passed away. Look, what is new has come. And all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and who has given us the ministry of reconciliation." In other words, in Christ, God was reconciled to the world, was reconciling the world to himself, not counting people's trespasses against them, and he has given us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making his plea through us. We plead with you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that in him we would become the righteousness of God. The love of God shaped the way the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, lived while he walked on earth. And it should shape every part of our lives as we walk with Jesus as his disciples, transforming us every day, little by little, to look more like Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself. Every healing, every miracle, every parable, every time Jesus said, "Go and sin no more," was shaped and driven out of love for every person that he looked in the eyes. It was for one and for all that he came. He endured insults, mockery, false accusations, physical abuse, the shame of the cross, and the agony of crucifixion. Because what matters most to him is being close to you, because he loves you. This one who was born in Bethlehem and headed toward death in Jerusalem did so because God will stop at nothing to tell you the truth of who you are and how much you are loved and worthy of every good thing in Christ Jesus. The baptism of Jesus told the world who he is, and by virtue of his identity, had the authority to proclaim the good news to the poor, to release the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce the time that had come when God would save his people. The time was then and still is today. Thanks be to God. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, God gave birth to his church. That's us. And he delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and spirit. We get to participate in that new covenant today as we come and receive Holy Communion, the holy mystery in which he has given himself to us, for which we give thanks and in love respond, because he has loved us so much. The kingdom of God has come near, friends. Let us prepare our hearts to receive and to encounter the gift of the good news again as we approach the table.
Those who are assisting me in the communion, would you please come forward? I'd like to invite everyone who loves our Lord Jesus Christ and also who confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior to this communion table. But before we have a communion together, I'd like to invite you to think about your lives. Are there anything that you need to repent of, the sins, the impurities you might have in your lives, the broken relationship, some areas in your life that you need Jesus Christ's Lordship? So why don't we just bow our heads? And if there is anything that you need to confess to God before we have a communion, this is the right time. Let's ask God's forgiveness together. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you so much for being our Lord and Savior. As we are taking communion together, we remember the sins we have committed. God, please cleanse us and help us to be in line with you, to reveal your wonders and glory to the people around us. God, please bless the bread we're going to take together, and also bless the cup we are going to drink from together. And help us remember who we are in your grace and love. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. On the night when Jesus Christ gave up himself for his disciples, he took the bread, gave thanks to God, and broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to God and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So as we join the communion together, we are joining the life of Jesus Christ together, because the life of Jesus Christ is in us. Amen? Amen. Amen. The body of Jesus Christ given to you may say, "Amen. Amen." Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ shed for you, you may say, "Amen. Amen." The table is set. Please come forward and enjoy Jesus Christ. Please. The bread we prepared for you today, they are all gluten-free. So you don't have to be picky about the stations we have here, okay? Please come forward.
Mortal show. blessings bestow upon art theirs to give. Who explains the
pray. Dear God, thank you so much for your wonderful blessings in our life. God, please continually use us to bring glory to you. And God, help us to reveal how much you love your world. use our lives, God, for that purpose. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Christ, you are loved, you are seen, and you matter so much to God, so much that He came down out of love for all of us. Go in the love of Christ today and show love to all you meet, because people need to hear it. Go then in peace. Amen.